There are two things I'd speak to you about today, both moratoriums, one of which I'm favor and one of which I'm opposed to. First, the student-led moratorium, which I think will be the most effective indication, I hope, to the President of public disposition with reference to the war that the country has seen since the primaries of last year. And I do hope that the President will not, as he has said, ignore what I believe will be demonstrated across the country on the 15th of October. I want to clear that I lend my full support to the effort which is being led by young people, but which is supported by many adult citizens across the country. I think the demonstration there of public position, plus some of the indications that should get to the White House out of the election in Massachusetts on Tuesday, Sir Michael Harrington's victory, that all of these taken together, I think, do demand some response on the part of the President of the United States. And the second is the recommendation that everyone in the Senate and others refrain from any criticism of our policy in Vietnam or of the war in Vietnam itself. As I've read the reports of what's been said and noted the language that's being used, it's almost as though we were back in 1966. Words like cut and run that we hadn't heard since President Johnson's day in the White House are being revived. Word buckle and buckle under, and the suggestion that everything will be all right if the national resolve simply is maintained. I think it was proper to give the President some 4 or 5 months after he was installed in office, not really to reassess his policy in Vietnam, because the Vietnamese policy is something that he's known about since at least 1954, when he recommended or supported a recommendation that America become involved. But without going back that far, anyone who offered himself for the presidency in 1968 had to know that the most important problem which he would face was the war in Vietnam, and that he should have developed a policy on it before he entered that campaign. The moratorium which was allowed and which should have been allowed was simply one which would give a president time to change personnel, to appoint new ambassadors, and to look to procedures by which he might attempt to carry out his policies. I've seen no indication of a change in policy. Part of this administration is against the Johnson policy, and certainly I and many others who have been criticizing the Nixon administration in recent weeks did criticize the Johnson administration's policy, and therefore I think it's wholly consistent that we now criticize the same policy, even though it's being declared and sustained by other persons, but in the same text and the same language. If the President does have a new policy, he should tell us what it is, and then we can look at it and decide whether this policy is deserving of some kind of moratorium by way of criticism until it's made to work. And if he has some kind of secret policy, the one to which he referred in the campaign, but he can't tell it to us, if it's so subtle, then I think he has to run the risk, really, and to carry it out, even though he is criticized. And I must say, if he did say what he's quoted as saying by Senator Scott, that he would not be the first president to preside over a military defeat, that this is language which I think no president should use. It would, I think, be quite an order to draw from that, that the president in office would say that he would sacrifice almost anything in order to preserve his own, or what he conceived to be, his role in history. And I hope that the president did not really mean it, that if he said it, he said it with reference to a judgment which he may have made about this particular war, but no president should speak in those terms, because it clearly implies a willingness to prejudice the whole country in a way in order to make one's own mark in history on questionable grounds. And so I intend to join with all of those who have been critical to sustain their efforts and hope that we can make the case to the President, first of all, and if not directly, at least to make it through him, through elections and through going to the people of this country. Any questions?
Senator, you mentioned a change in personnel, a change in ambassador. Are you recommending that the President fire Ambassador Bunker?
No, I was saying that I think he had a right to some delay by way of criticism until he had made the changes which he did make. And he has made those changes. Therefore, I say he's responsible now for the administration of whatever programs or action may be necessary to bring the war to an end.
Senator, what are your own plans for October 15th?
Well, they're tentative now. I'll be speaking at one or two colleges and possibly also in New York on that day, not at a college campus.
Senator, Democratic war critics seem to be forming sort of a united front. And there was this meeting last week with Senator Harris, National Chairman. Are you going to join in concert with other war critics on this in your party?
Well, I don't know if it needs to be a formal organization. I have no objection to their meeting and consulting and working together, and I'd be quite willing. I was invited to that meeting, but I was out of town, so I didn't, I was not excluded.
Well, is there the danger of this becoming a partisan issue with so much Democratic movement into the critical area?
It may become a partisan issue. I don't mind it's becoming a partisan issue, but I don't think it'll become wholly partisan because there are enough Republicans who are on the record, people like Senator Hatfield and others who are critical of our involvement in Vietnam.
Senator, you said that you may have to make the case may have to be made through elections and going to the people of the country. Last year, you did that in a national election. If there was not a change in policy, would you personally travel across the country next year in the congressional election supporting candidates who oppose the policy?
Well, I expect that I will be doing that, whether there is a change in policy or not. And I have a feeling that perhaps the final change in policy will still be an issue in the campaign of 1970.
Would you consider the presidency in 1972? Would
you consider I rather narrowed the possibilities of my running for any office above that of the House of Representatives, I think, in the statement I made about a year ago. So I'm operating in a rather narrow political field these days.
Senator, the President has indicated that he thinks that the protest is chipping away at his negotiating position in Vietnam. Since you disagree with that position, isn't that really what you want to do?
I don't know what he's negotiating, but I'd be quite content to chip away at his present position, but I don't see it as a negotiating position. I haven't really changed from the position I represent in the campaign that the first step would have to be an effort to secure a coalition government or a fusion government or whatever you wish to call it. And I don't see any, although the administration has used that word once or twice, I've not seen any evidence of their pressing for a coalition in South Vietnam. And I think they must press for it. And if they're satisfied that nothing of that kind can come out of Paris, I think we ought to be prepared to break off negotiations there. I don't know if it was a good place to go anyway. You should never have a conference of that kind in a country in which the people you're negotiating with would rather be than at home. And in case of the Americans, they'd rather be here, so they don't negotiate very well under those circumstances. A place like Panmunjom is a fine place for a conference. Nobody wants to be there, and you can expect that they'll move towards some kind of settlement. But assuming we have to break off, you can't.
No public address system. We can't hear you over here.
Well, I said that I thought Paris was a bad place for that conference because the other side preferred to be in Paris rather than at home. Whereas I thought our negotiators preferred to be at home rather than in Paris, and one or two of them indicated that. But if that conference is broken off, I think the second step should be to try to reconvene something like the Geneva Conference in the hope that we could work out a settlement of the total Vietnam problem, both North and South. And failing in that, that we ought to proceed with some kind of orderly withdrawal of troops. I don't have a set program. I'd be quite prepared to support something like Senator Goodell's recommendation, and I hope that the Senate Foreign Relations Committee will consider that and work out whatever modifications or details they think are necessary.
What is your assessment of President Nixon's troop withdrawal program up to this point?
I don't think it means anything at this point. If he were to proceed to withdraw to a point where the numbers were down to, or at least we could project they were going down below 250 or 200,000, even without an announced change in policy, I think the quantitative change at that point would in effect result in a policy change of necessity, in somewhat the same way as when the number of troops was increased without an announced change in policy in 66 and 67, The simple consequence of the numbers of troops there had the effect of making a qualitative or a policy change so far as the United States' involvement in Vietnam was concerned. And so you can turn that around and on a quantitative basis simply reduce numbers until you have a policy change as a result of the reduction of our power.
Senator, that number of young men who believe in your policies about the war, who are in the bridge of the military across the country, Marine Corps and Army and others, they're having a very rough time in some of these places. There's a great overcrowding. I wonder if you have inquired into this or taken any interest in it.
Well, I've taken an interest, not just the young men who were interested in supporting my position or who were opposed to the war, but many who had no particular ideological position have been, I think, mistreated in the prisons and the retention camps of the military. But this whole field is, I think, in the process of being reexamined and must be reexamined. We've never really given any thought to how to deal with soldiers or with those who are incarcerated or under some kind of limitation under military conditions such as those which we have now. In fact, we've not given any thought really to the kind of moral dilemma in which we place our military men, as in the case of the Pueblo or even the Green Berets, that there's, I think the time has come for the Pentagon to give some serious thought to a kind of re-education of its officers and to what the moralists now call situational ethics. I don't think that concept has reached very deeply into the Pentagon yet, but I hope that it does.
Senator, you said that the President was entitled to 4 or 5 months without criticism. Why have you waited so long?
Well, I didn't say you had to start criticizing after 4 or 5 months, and there were some members who did criticize, and Senator McGovern was one of the first, and I said I thought it was quite in order for him to criticize. For a number of reasons, have not said very much, but as I said earlier, it got to a point where all the old lines were coming back that we heard in 66 and 67, plus the fact that the students have become active, and I'm concerned that they understand they have my continuing support.
Senator, you say you might support the Goodell plan or something like it. The administration has said to Hugh Scott that the Goodell plan result in a bloodbath in South Vietnam. Isn't this something to be concerned about?
The question is that the administration, speaking through Senator Scott, that's a rather strained representation, I think, but indicated that there would be a bloodbath if we pull out. I think Senator Allott said something about that, too, and that this is an old line that we heard in 66, 67, that as I remember then, it was that 900,000 Catholics would be executed. Now, shortly after that, the Catholic bishops of South Vietnam asked for an end of the war. And I would think that if the Catholic bishops were concerned about the possible execution of all of the faithful, that they would probably not have recommended the end of the war. I don't think there's any evidence, any real reason to believe that that kind of mass execution would take place.
Senator, your campaign last year provided a focus for many students and others opposed to the war. The next presidential election is 3 years away. What's going to happen if the president's policies are not changed?
Oh, I don't really know what will happen. I'd hope that they're changed before 1972.
Senator, you said that it was wholly consistent for you to criticize Nixon because you criticized Johnson. Do you think the same holds true for Fred Ayers?
Well, there have been a lot of conversions at an even higher level than Fred with reference to this war. I think it's quite all right for Fred Harris to criticize the war now. When you think of the fact that Robert McNamara evidently has changed his views, and he was one of the, you know, not a prophet, but more or less a scribe, with reference to the war, supporting it and justifying it. Harriman was one of the first to advocate our involvement, or at least to sustain the involvement there. Mac George Bundy. I mean, you have a whole list of people who've changed, and Will Atchison, too, most recently. So that if those who, and Cyrus Vance, and those who supposedly were they were the ones of whom it used to be said, if you knew what they knew, you'd be for the war. They're now saying that they're against it. So with that kind of change at high levels, I think it's wholly in order for people like Senator Harris and others. Senator Goodell, we're glad to have them come over. I wish they'd come last summer.
Senator, President Nixon has said he wouldn't heed the campus of the Senate in Vietnam. Instead, you're going ahead and encourage
I gather you feel that it will have an impact.
Well, I don't know whether it will or not. There's a question as to whether anyone heeded the results that were indicated in the primaries last year. Certainly the Democratic National Convention didn't heed it very much. I'm hopeful that as these things build up, that the President may respond to what I think is clearly indicated to be the public resolve with reference to the war in Vietnam.
Do you also support the demonstrations planned on November 13 through 15 here in Washington?
Well, I don't want to go on record for everything that may be included there, but this is the second manifestation of what will be shown on the 15th of October. And I'll take a look at that as it approaches.
Are you concerned with the charge that you were guilty of a bug out?
I wasn't quite sure about what the bug out meant. That was a new term. That's one that was added by the Nixon administration. We didn't have that under President Johnson. I know about cut and run and nervous nellies and buckling under, but the bug out is new. I'm not sure what that means.
Senator, are you happy with the progress that is being made toward the Democratic Party reforms with a view to an open convention in 72?
There hasn't been very much progress made as yet. I think that the McGovern Committee or Commission ought to just file its recommendations with the National Committee and see what they'll do about it. There is one encouraging sign. The Democratic Farmer Labor Party in my state in convention about 10 days ago did adopt a new constitution which incorporates most of the reforms we've been asking for. If this constitution had been in effect last year, I would have received roughly half of the Minnesota delegation instead of approximately one-fourth. So there is progress in my own state, and I hope it would be an example to the National Party.
Are these reforms going to determine whether or not you work within the framework of the party in 70 and 71?
Well, there are a lot of things that will go into that determination. Be helpful, I'd say.
Senator, how is life on the Government Operations Subcommittee? What are you doing?
Well, that committee is operated rather, my subcommittee is the Jackson Subcommittee. It's operated rather strangely this year. We haven't had a meeting. I'm prepared to ask at the next general meeting of the committee for a report on what the staff has been doing, but I've been waiting for the call. That may be a good sign in terms of my presence on the committee for it not to have met. This may be an indication of my strength. You know, if you want to read it deeply, I think that would be the best interpretation, don't you?
Senator, how many followers do you think you have?
Well, I'm trying to catch up with all of them now, so they're all ahead of me, whatever the number is, Sarah. I don't really know. I've kind of been following it generally in the press and waiting for the report on it until it was completed. I'm not very enthusiastic as a supporter of his. I voted against, as you know, the appointment of Warren Berger, so that I have some room in which to make the decision on Haynesworth. Well, the people in Chicago are really not there with reference to my campaign, and I always say, what am I supposed to do? I was called to come out and speak in support of Murray Kempton when he was up, and I called him and said, what's the charge? And he said, loitering. And I said, well, I don't want to destroy your professional reputation. I mean, do I come out and say you weren't loitering? I said, what are you doing today? And he said, loitering. So it becomes a question, really, of what the charge is and what good I would do and what I could testify for or against, you know.
Senator, how would you go about forming a coalition government outside of
the Paris? Well, I haven't been at the conference. I think the first thing you do is advocate it. We haven't even advocated it, so far as I know. And I'm persuaded that there are people known in South Vietnam who could be recommended for a coalition government. Whether they'd be accepted or not is another question. But if they're not accepted, then this does not mean that we have to do whatever General Tu or General Key wishes to have us do.
Thank you, sir.
Right. Very good. Thank you.
Immortalized as it takes.